pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. If you want to be, we got a bunch of texts to get to. Apparently, a lot of you felt motivated to respond to our last segment, our segment before last, in the last hour. So we'll get to those. So I get your feedback. Always appreciate that. Paul DeMarco coming up here in about a half hour. Get kind of a lay of the land, his reaction to statewide politics right now. And you know, going into 2027, going to have a new AG. A lot of things kind of got left on the table, I feel like, over the last few years, which will have a little bit of a different legislature. But we'll talk to Paul. Always appreciate his feedback. He'll be joining us here in about 30 minutes. Also on the show, Will Hampson, and we'll do our segment with him and get some feedback about Washington, D.C. right now. You know, and I'm going to admit, I'm a little surprised there's as much going on Capitol Hill right now. This Save America Act still has life, although I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I wouldn't be too bullish on it. But they passed a housing bill last night. I don't know. More government policy is supposed to make home ownership more affordable. You had five members in the Senate vote against it. Tommy Tuberville was one of them. I think it was like Rick Scott, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, and Ron Johnson. You count on those five, generally speaking. But Kitty Britt voted for it, and I think it wasn't so much the concept that Coach was against, but he said that there's a previous version of this that did not get the support. Got 10 no votes against it, but that it favored more of the urban areas and not rural areas. But still, some, I guess the point I'm trying to make is there's still some things, interesting things going on in Capitol Hill, despite the looming August recess. Mike, people like D.I. Texter think that the minority gets to dictate society to the majority. That's not part of the Bill of Rights. The minority's freedoms are protected by them, but no place does it give them the right to control our social order. You know, I understand, like, we have a government for all and not just a majority. But the majority cannot hijack. You know, the city has to have a certain identity. And it has to be a reflection of the people who live here. Does Pride Month, is that our identity now? Is that why, when you think of Mobile, let's say you live in Topeka, Kansas, and you think of Mobile, Alabama, Is Pride Month what you're really going to, first thing that's going to come to your mind? I don't know, there's like a million other things at the top of that list that the city could be promoting to get people to come here. And so it's my conclusion that this has nothing to do with tourism. Like I said, it is a virtue signaling exercise. It is that, and it's also to show you Bible-thumping right-wingers, mouth-breathing right-wingers, that the more sophisticated, the more learned, the more intellectual are going to show you what's good for you. It turns out these aren't very smart people, by the way. Gene. What awareness is the preacher bringing in that hate from a preacher makes big money? Now he is on Fox News. Well, he's speaking on behalf of his parishioners. They had the freedom to organize around him. It's a very big church. A lot of people go to his church who live in the city of Mobile, Gene. just like you have probably a couple of fans out there who listen to this show who don't text in. Gene speaks for them. Rock and Roll Doctor. Mobile is a fantastic example of our blue bloods exchanging public dollars amongst themselves in the vein of helping the general public at City Grove, skimming from the top to patting each other on the back for their generosity and community leadership. I'll leave off that second part, Rock and Roll Doctor. Name Texter. How about taking some of those advertising dollars and put it toward a litter control? Mobile is a trashy town. Squirrel Vereen. DI Texter ironically defends people literally sticking noses and all where they don't belong. I don't know. I'm going to roll with that. DI Texter, we'll see here. The media and liberal loons won't let there be a long-lasting patriotism surge. I think you're probably right. Goes on to add, plus on all of Mobile Pride Month nonsense, the mayor and Republican council members have been too weak to say anything for or against, thus enabling it. They're afraid. It's this, it's that you have this small group of people who are very dedicated to the cause, and they're going to make problems. They're going to make problems for you. They're going to disrupt your life. But that's, you know, if that's a problem, if that's something you don't want to deal with, then go do something else. Get out of public life. But that's, I believe, why this is tolerated in any sense. Mobile's inclusive culture. Visit Mobile and all the inclusive people will comment on Mobile's historically segregated Mardi Gras culture. And they need to watch that all up. Predators and abusers fall under that category. Unnamed texter. I saw a post from the Democratic Socialist group of Mobile speaking against a pastor. I didn't know that you have to be a communist to be gay. No, but they go to the same meetings. I've always found that intriguing. That the environmentalist, the pro-abortions, the apparently the LGBTQ guys, the penis costume wearers. It turns out that they're all sort of like, they all know each other. Unnamed texter, unless something is done lawfully, legally by Christian people regarding the gay banners, they will continue to be waving. We have remained sitting down talking about atrocities for so long, and look what not standing up has gotten us. Well, you're right. But I made this point with Pastor Johnson that, like, it's like by some small miracle, the whole thing goes away during election years. Somehow the city keeps a lid on it when there is an election in a couple of months. But in these off years, it's back to doing the same thing we do every year. Why do you think that is? And I'm hoping to, you know, entertain that question. Ultra Runner, is it conservative to tell me why I can't sell my house to the highest bidder? Why did Katie vote for this? I don't know. I do think that the Republicans are kind of spooked by the so-called affordability question. And there's, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to go back to 2019 prices. Voting for Joe Biden in America and having that second stimulus, ARPA, where they just pump so much money into the economy, and this is here to stay. They're not pulling the money back. You have we just have inflation, and now the value of the dollar has gone down, and prices have gone up. And as things go in these presidential cycles, we're going to get inflation down. We're going to get affordability back, and it hasn't really happened. And part of that, I believe, is this idea that we needed to do something to Iran right now. So here we are. And that's why you see these so-called bipartisan efforts. You see members working across the aisle to try to do positive things to show that they're working. I see something like this, and I question it. Like, you know, these people, they're never going to work with you on anything. But here on this housing bill, you have Tim Scott and Elizabeth Warren in the Senate, French Hill and Maxine Waters in the House. Some strange bedfellows for sure. But, you know, the partisan nature of Washington, D.C. is as such, like, you know, nothing. There's no room for any kind of bipartisanship. Why all of a sudden is this the thing that they could agree on? I don't know the answer to that question. But it is out there. Like, how do you find common ground on this but nothing else? Jason, has Mayor Spiro had any public comment on this Visit Mobile topic? Not publicly. I have not heard anything publicly. The eye test, your distorted and perverse view of Christianity is what ruined the Republican Party. What? The irony is the blind eye to all of the immorality of MAGA white weaponizing scripture. Well, weaponizing scripture. Shall we call it Bible lawfare? But you know, the religious aspects aren't binding. Whereas when you talk about lawfare, a court decision until appealed to a higher court, a higher power, I guess, it's binding. I don't think it's distorted. But like, we could have the scriptural discussion, and you could play the hypocrisy card, and you could talk about, but the bottom line is this, D.I. Texter. What do the people in the city want? And are you going to tell me, D.I. Texter, that the people of the city want this to be the emblem of Mobile? That they want the rainbow flag? That represents, that's the signature of their city that they pay taxes to? Is that what they want? Or is this a small group of people who are going to show us, who are going to tell us what is right and wrong? Is this a small, very select group of people who are manipulating a situation and using tax dollars collected in your name, lodging tax dollars, to do it? And it's a virtue signaling exercise. And that's not what this is. That's not what this whole apparatus was designed for. Mike, you're right. The dollar will never straighten back out to 2018 pricing after Trump allowed the medical complex to run the country to the ground. And then him and Biden printed trillions. It's against the fundamental rules to using a fiat currency. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.
Oh, mama, can this really be the end?
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show? All you do is text me, D.I. Texter. I absolutely believe the majority of Mobile backs this. Interesting. I think it's a top reason Spiro and Drummond split the vote after Prine's homophobic rant went viral. LGBTQ is a leading spending demographic in tourism, much ado about nothing, and the lady doth protest too much. No, it's it's not why people come to Mobile, Alabama. You go to Fire Island, or you go to the Tenderloin, or you go to, I don't know, where else do they go? The New York City or something, right? That you're, this is not a draw to Mobile. Your iconic gay bar in Mobile's not even open right now for Pride Month. So, D.I. Texter, you could peddle this fiction all you want, but it's just not true. It's not steeped in reality. It's not indicative of where the culture is. It's this counterculture. I mean, they're trying to impose their will on the city, on you, on your values. And they're not doing it in a very graceful way. It's just, it's thrust, it's done, it's, we're going to show those people. You should hear some of the conversations that I've heard about in these meetings. It's absolutely absurd. Be dark, Jeff, by naming the hockey team the Mystics is a good sign of the city wanting a rainbow flag. Wait. Explain that to me then, because maybe I'm missing it. Is there some kind of double entendre there? Jason says, tell D.I. Texture that the Bebop straw poll doesn't apply in real world. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with these things existing in our culture. I mean, there's something wrong with it, but there's... These people are free to do what they want. It's a free country. But people don't want to showcase it with their tax dollars. They don't want the city seal of approval on it. This is, we made this determination with all these Confederate symbols was okay. Well, should the city have a Confederate admiral in the center of its downtown? Well, somebody in the dark of night decided no. Why is this different? Why are some symbols okay and some aren't if we have to all agree on what the symbol should be? Old guy, haha, Jeff, go to hell. That's where they go. The D.I. Texter has gone to Wikipedia and is telling me that the LGBTQ travel demographic, $140 billion annual spending worldwide. So if you are a gay couple in the south of France, you're going to come to Mobile, Alabama. Do you believe that? I told you many times during the municipal election that Spiro's campaign was run by Democrats. Why act so surprised now? I don't think it was run by Democrats. It may not be like right-wing reactionary populists, but they're not, I don't think they're Democrats, not in the sense that you're a Democrat. Sean. Let's take a vacation, vacay to Mobile. It's so gay, but it's just not. It's not the selling point. Don't try to sell me on this. This is not getting the most return on investment with tourism dollars. That's just fiction. This is not some sort of a pilgrimage to Mobile, Alabama. If you're LGBTQ, there's nothing here. It's not what you're selling the city on. It's absurd, and it's being used as a political exercise by these people, and they know it, and they're just rubbing your nose in it. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Dr. Bill, there's so much more we could say, but for now, congratulations from the Alabama Broadcasters Association and FM Talk 106.5.
It's where I drank my first beer. It's where I found Jesus.
Back to the Chuck Porras Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Go and get involved. Text me 251-343-0106. Coming up in about an hour, Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs. And we'll go kind of into trenches of what's going on Capitol Hill and election politics as well, coming out of last week. It seems like it's been 2 weeks, but here we are a week after last week's primary. Joining us now, however, on the line, he is a regular on the show. We're always appreciative of his time. Paul DeMarco is with us. Paul, how are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Hope y'all are well today.
Doing well. Thanks for coming on, and always appreciate it. Let's start here. It's been a week since we've had these elections. We pretty much know how state government is going to look next year at this point. There's a congressional special election and then the general election, but we have an idea. And, there's just a lot of things. And I guess the biggest thing is going to be having a new governor, but a change of direction. You won't have the same people in charge of the House Judiciary Committee. And we talk about public safety a lot when you come on this show, but I think like now is the kind of the opportunity to kind of right the ship and stop catering to these Alabama Appleseed kind of groups that there's going to have to be some kind of expectation here over the next 4 years.
Yes. I hope a Governor Tuberville works with the new Attorney General and the legislative leadership. I mean, it can't happen without the legislature. On a couple of different perspectives. I think right off the bat, I think the governor can start looking at his appointments at the parole board. And that would be one of the first places I would look to say, where did we have our successes? Where we had our failures? Look at what the legislature did in 2018, 2019, when they reformed the parole board, and where are we now? So that's the first place I would look. But then immediately I would say, Governor Tuberville, look at the failures in our criminal justice system in Alabama and the revolving door and how we need to start moving towards a truth in sentencing model in Alabama, like the federal system. Look to Florida with Governor DeSantis, some of what he has done when it comes to the criminal justice system. He has had no problem calling out problems in the criminal justice system if he saw weak plea deals or something not being prosecuted. He could look, right there to our neighbor with Governor DeSantis to see some of the changes that he's made in Florida. So I really do think we have an opportunity for a reset with our criminal justice system based on what's going on around the nation and what we saw in 20 and just some of the horrendous crime. Look at Montgomery right now. He's going to be in Montgomery where the crime rate, was it where three people shot and killed this past weekend in Montgomery? Is that what I read? It's just horrible.
Well, getting a handle on the prison system and there's a lot of angst about Alabama prisons, and they're always, there's been for decades, but Governor Ivey never quite got a hold on it. And then she had all these ideas and they never really were able to happen. And this goes back to Bentley as well, but getting a handle on that, getting past these Eighth Amendment violations, and that will put us at least in a place to where we can start talking about truth and sentencing and having a system that's conducive to that. Because right now, with the overcrowding and this unwillingness to address that head on, you can never get to what the way the system is intended to work.
Well, and you're going to have one prison. Is my understanding that prison's going to be ready in October before Governor Ivey ends her term? But then you're talking about that second prison, and the talk about closing it. And again, I don't think you're going to have enough beds moving forward in the next 5 to 10, 15 years. So thinking out, that's going to be another financial issue to question about. Do we have enough beds being put online for the future? And does that mean expanding those new prisons that are being built, or the new, or going back and looking at the old? I thought the idea is, oh, we're going to save money by, you know, closing some of these old ones. I just don't think that's going to be possible. They need to look at it financially. How do you move forward with these two new, you know, prisons, but also how do you have enough beds in the future?
Well, I think it's, you know, I talk to these law enforcement guys all the time about this, that there's somewhere in the system, we're turning a blind eye to a lot of misdemeanors, a lot of small crimes in these big cities, that they're not enforcing the law. But when you do that, you create this culture where there's more felonies committed and there's more felons. And when there's more felons, you know, the population, the incarcerated is on the rise. It's not as if the state's out just to get people or whatever. But, like, the structure here is flawed. The philosophy behind it is flawed. And, you know, if you're not going to force the law, if you're not going to do it the right way, then you're going to have these problems. So I think, like, ultimately, Paul, like, you know, if you are, like, one of these people who wants to lower the incarcerated, you got to look, you got to do some introspection and question what's going on in some of these cities around the state.
Look, there's... They were showing statistics. I can't believe I'm going to use it, but talk about El Salvador, the number of people that went behind bars and how the crime got reduced. You can look at New York when Rudy Giuliani, the whole, the way, the philosophy. Look back in 20 and 21, how crime skyrocketed because this whole defund the police, don't enforce the law, all of that, and how the murder rates skyrocketed. I mean, just 2 years ago, Birmingham had the highest murder rate they had ever had in the history of the city. There was a direct correlation between saying we're just not going to prosecute people. We're just going to allow people. You can just, the laws don't matter. I mean, this is 2 + 2 = 4 logic. That when you choose not to enforce the law, when you choose not to prosecute folks, when you choose to have you know, weak plea deals and judges who won't sentence folks, they're going to commit more crimes. I mean, it's not complicated. What's complicated is you have to get within the system and say, we've got to prosecute these individuals for both public safety and for the justice of the crime victims.
And I feel like when Tommy Tuberville does take over as governor, I mean, he's going to have to deal with this. And there's a lot that is going to be left behind by this administration. And you and I it's like you and I kind of talked about this, historical comparison to Governor Wallace in the late 70s when Bob James took over and the mess he inherited. That this is going to have to be something that's going to be dealt with by the next governor. But we may not know until that time comes just how out of sorts things are.
And you're right. You went back to the litigation with the Department of Justice. I hope with the individuals that Governor Tuberville puts in his office, in the Attorney General's office, with Catherine, that they can say, look, we're going to work to solve these problems with our prisons while at the same time making sure that we have a criminal justice system works for the victims and public safety. And so many times we see it doesn't. And that's why we've had the revolving door in and out and over and over and over. But I think part of it is just we hear about a crime and you see the headline, but that's it. But we don't see how some of these folks don't really serve the punishment for the crime. And there's just not as much transparency about some of the sentencing and some of the plea deals where you have someone, oh, they're sentenced to 20 years, but it's a split sentence. They only end up with 3 years and they've already served it. So they're back out on the street. You know, this whole split system when it comes to sentencing really is a concern for those of us who say we have a broken criminal justice system in Alabama.
Joined by Paul DeMarco here on the program. Paul, like I said, we're a week removed from the election. Anything stand out to you from our runoff last week?
Well, I think we've talked a lot about it, and you've talked about it. Does it surprise that you had a 10% voter turnout in June, But what do you do? Is the apathy, you know, just everything is just Washington, D.C. 24/7? How do you get folks engaged to pay attention to what's going on in these state races? And I think that's a real question. You've got Democrats who, because of Donald Trump, that they want to get out there and vote just to be against Donald Trump. But what do you do to get the average citizen engaged and back out there? I think more than, you know, the importance of the Trump endorsement or kind of a new slew of leaders that are coming up, really it's the apathy that we all have to really talk about and be concerned about in the state of Alabama.
Well, I think there's some headwinds for Republicans in the state. I mean, there's obviously national headwinds, and we're going to see those on election night. But probably in some places, Democrats will surprise. They turned out in the primary. Will they turn out in a general election, you know, several months from now? That's the key question. But if we're going to base it on that, there's a lot of enthusiasm in the Democratic Party. Doug Jones on the ballot. He's not going to be governor, but he will have some coattails. There's some places that need to be on watch, I would think. I'd put your Jefferson County on there, but I think probably the one I'm really interested in is, what's Madison County going to look like? Is that Senate seat up there that Tom Butler is walking away from, is it going to be contested? Can he get the Maryland land seat back? There's just a bunch of different things going on right now that I think Republicans need to be on the watch for.
Well, you make that point because you can talk about the Lee counties and the Tuscaloosa counties and kind of that vote. But really, I agree with you, that major metropolitan area, unlike, I think, Mobile, that continues to be a Republican in Jefferson County, where we are all over the place. But really, in Madison County, because the number of folks moving into the state, moving into Madison County. You can look at their school board. You can look at, you know, what's going on with city council, county commission, and that legislative seat. I was talking to a friend of mine in Georgia, and he said, well, you saw what happened here. I said, I'm not worried about us losing a Senate seat like they have in Georgia. And if they're able to reclaim that Senate seat. But they said, look, we still have, you know, our statewide offices. I think it was last year they lost some public service commission to some Democrat. Does that sound right to you? I think that's what
happened. Yeah, and that was like one of the bellwethers national media sort of harped on for a little bit.
Yeah. And I think you even saw a couple of races in the Mississippi legislature where maybe some Democrats, but, we're not there yet, but that should be a warning to Republicans. You just cannot take anything for granted. You can't just count on the rule. Eric, you can't just count on Marshall County and Blount County and Coleman and Baldwin County, the Republican parties. And I know Scott's paying attention to this as the chair of the state GOP. What do you have to do in these metropolitan areas up and down the I-65 corridor? And I've talked about it when I was chair of the Jefferson County Republican Party, is you've got to pay attention to these suburbs where you have these votes that can kind of swing back and forth. So I think that's really the charge that Alabama Republican Party is looking up the I-65 corridor and these suburbs, or I guess in the Madison, you know, in Huntsville, kind of in those areas around the city of Huntsville.
Well, and then I'll say this, and, you know, we had the R versus D argument all the time, you know, when it comes down to public policy. But there's a real contrast in Alabama with Republicans and Democrats. And what the party needs to do, like, you know, you could have these discussions about, you know, Iran or whatever, immigration, but the contrast needs to be made more on a local level about what Democrats, if they had their way, what they would do in this state. And I think, it would open a lot of eyes. But that's the point that needs to be made, is like, you know, you start losing seats in the state Senate. These are the kind of things that they want. These are the kind of bills that they want to pass. These are the things that they offer up. And that's not really a good direction for Alabama. That's what they do in other states. And you see how these other states are basket cases when it comes to their state level and their local level governments.
Look, at this point, we need to look at the South Carolina, I mean, we always would talk about, I guess, traditionally, North Carolina is, the place in the state that's attracting folks. It's South Carolina now. And Alabama should really look at how is South Carolina. I mean, Alabama and South Carolina are so similar when it's population and economic development. We need to really be looking at what are they doing in South Carolina to really grow their economy and attract folks? Because that really, if I read right recently, that's the state in the South that's really taking folks on. I mean, obviously, Florida's a whole different animal, but really they talked about the growth in South Carolina. Why can't Alabama make sure that our economic growth is paralleling what's going on in South Carolina? And then you look at what's going on in education in Mississippi. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can look at some of our neighbors where the people are the same, the politics is the same, saying, let's take some of their successes and bring them here to Alabama.
Yeah, I think that there's some appropriate comparisons that they need to make. And if that doesn't happen, then, you know, just losing a few Senate seats or a few legislative seats, let me say that, it would create this idea of momentum, and it does kind of add fuel to the fire. And I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll get to that point here in the interim where we're talking more about, like, just sort of like, you know, this is your Republican leadership and this is what they want to do. Do you want this or do you want that?
There's a stark contrast. And again, you don't just have to say, well, oh, we're never going to be Chicago. We're never going to be Seattle. You don't have to be that. You can look at some of the subtle changes when it comes to tax policy or the criminal justice system that candidly we saw some folks in the Republican Party do. So that's what I worry about. And you nailed that.
Do you want to be perfectly. Birmingham or in Charleston or, you know, some of these places where you do have these changes going on, or do you kind of like what you got? And that's the contrast that needs to be made.
Absolutely, because you're going to deflect business from coming here and starting new jobs.
Paul, we'll let you get back to it, but hey, thanks for hopping on this morning, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Hope y'all have a great day.
Paul DeMarco, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I gave you my heart, and I tried to make you happy.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. Like I said, you know, it's a slow news cycle, and I, you know, slow in that I've been watching CNN on mute, and they're talking about the reflecting pool on the National Mall, and they're talking about Turning Point USA and conspiracy theorists within the ranks. So you're just like, you look at this and you can't help but wonder, like, what? This TPUSA is your go-to time killer, I guess. 251-343-0106. Let's see here. Be dark. Well, mystics sound queer to begin with, shoveling Pride Month in our faces, pushing it over the cliff. Mystics is a play on hockey sticks, mystics, and the Mystic Society, Be Dark. That is a perfectly fine name for a hockey team of Mobile, Alabama. What is the over under on the city of Six Flags? So are you talking about number of flags? Squirrelverine. I have seen the Fruit Loops make videos where they get themselves decked out in rainbow stuff and slogans go on stores, insinuating that they are surrounded by bigots because none of them say anything to them. They are predatory, desperate for attention from random people, random followers and fans in person or online. I don't know, like, why there is a kind of a PR campaign here. Now, I've always thought, like, you know, the drag queen story hour or you know, whatever, that maybe that is, like, you know, there is, it's not grooming necessarily. Maybe it is in some places, but it's trying to normalize mainstream of behavior. Okay. Fair, if that's what you want to do, you're trying to normalize this lifestyle. Okay, you're entitled. It's a free country. You could do that. That's where you must spend your time. But where I get crossways with it is when you're taking the public trust. you're taking our lodging taxes. You'll stay at a hotel in Mobile. It's cost prohibitive because of the lodging tax. And you're taking it to engage in this. And it's political. It's partisan. It is. It is antithetical to the values of a lot of people. It's the same reason to oppose gambling on these culture issues. Because you got to, the culture should be dictating the politics. The politics should not be dictating the culture. It's upside down right now. So you're using the political machinery to try to change the culture. That's bad government. That's not what government is for. But that's what they're trying to do with your government, is use it to change minds. And don't do that with our tax dollars. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.